Hour number three, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, the game, live today at Five Iron Golf. And watching the Masters, everybody's in here having a good time. But time to talk some hockey with our man Greg Wyshynski, senior NHL writer for ESPN. He's presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Greg, how you doing?
I'm doing well, boys. Sorry about the confusion last week. I was in Disney World with my daughter and managed to pick the busiest week of hockey news maybe in the last 5 years to take a vacation. So that's pretty great.
That worked out well.
Yeah, exactly.
but nonetheless, you're back at it. The Predators sit at 84 points. They're in the second wild card spot. Every game is the most important game of the year with only a couple of points, or really 1 point, separating them and the LA Kings. Going to be a fun one tonight against Utah. What is the perception with people you talk to around the league about Barry Trotz right now after the deadline and the fact that his team is in a wild card spot at the moment?
No, I mean, I think I haven't really had many of those discussions because the ship has sailed. I mean, he's not going to be the GM after this year, as far as we can tell. But I can tell you that, you know, when it comes to the team itself, there's a lot of surprise. I mean, for a team to go from the status that they had at the trade deadline, where the vultures were circling and we were all wondering which members of the veteran core might be traded, to a team that is, you know, right now looking pretty good as far as you know, making the postseason. Stathletes gives the Preds a reasonable chance of making the cut. We're at 26% right now, according to Stathletes. So, I mean, that's not for nothing. So I think the perception is a bit of surprise that the Preds have gotten to this point and are in a position to potentially qualify for the playoffs after looking like they were going to be a team in transition earlier this year.
A guy that is going to be available that we kind of thought could be Tom Fitzgerald with the New Jersey Devils. You're obviously in that area. You know the Devils very well. What's kind of your thought on his tenure with the Devils, and is he a viable candidate not only for the Preds job but anybody looking for a GM?
Well, I think he's a viable candidate. I like him in more of a president of hockey operations role, which is, I think, where he would probably end up in Nashville. The sense I got from a couple of sources this week is that the Predators are looking at a template in which they would hire a president of hockey operations with experience as a general manager, and then underneath that person would be one of these collection of assistant general managers that have come through and interviewed with the team. Because I got to be honest with you, when I started to see some of the names that were being floated around as far as having had, you know, contact with the Preds or that the Preds were interested in, I was confused because I really thought they'd go with somebody with experience. But, you know, you had a lot of AGMs coming through, and it makes sense that it might be under someone like Fitzgerald at the top of the organization. As far as his qualities, like, again, I think he's good at structure. He's good at building out a staff. I think that, you know, he had some issues in New Jersey at the draft table and in player development. I also think that he made some pretty significant mistakes from a player personnel standpoint this year. One, handing Jacob Markstrom an extension before the season, and then Markstrom was an absolute joke for the next 4 months, kind of cost the Devils any hope of making the playoffs. And then the whole Quinn Hughes debacle, where the Devils were in the driver's seat to try to acquire one of the best two defensemen in the NHL and kind of fumbled the bag and he went to Minnesota instead. So those two things, I think, were reasons why this change was made. But I like Fitz. I think he's a smart hockey guy, and he does a good job of building out an organization, and I think that he'd be pretty interesting as the top of the pyramid for the Predators.
Greg Wyshynski is with us. Do you view, though, because the Predators have been, and look, I don't necessarily say this is a bad thing, but they have been a very consistent organization in that David Poile was the GM for a really long time, Barry Trotz was the head coach for a really long time, they go to Trotz when Poile retires. They have kept it in the family basically since the very beginning when the family was formed. With that said, Fitz is the first captain. I consider him to be in the family. Is that something that should be considered in that maybe they need to go outside the family and bring in new ideas? Or is Fitz, you know, far enough removed and was only a player here that he could still fit that template?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. You know, the fact that he has some tie to the organization is exciting, and it does, you know, lend a little romanticism to it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, another example would be, you know, the guy that people are talking about potentially replacing Fitz in New Jersey, Brendan Shanahan. You know, Shanahan worked for the NHL. He was the president of the Maple Leafs, but there's a certain romanticism in the fact that he played, you know, he was drafted by the Devils and became a star for them. And so, I mean, having that tie is cute and it's good for marketing. But ultimately, I think I probably associate Fitz more with the Pittsburgh Penguins management tree. You know, he worked under, he worked there with Ray Shiro, and, you know, then came over to Jersey with Shiro. I think that's more where I associate him with than his playing days. But again, like I said, good executive, not a bad choice for the president of hockey operations. And, you know, didn't have the most successful run in Jersey. There were some mitigating circumstances there, but not a guy that I would be upset with if I'm a Predators fan coming to the organization.
Greg, you know, we talk about in the NFL how important the backup quarterback is to the team, especially down the stretch. How important does that apply to goalie and a backup goalie in the NHL stretch? And I say that because right now the Preds' backup goalie is playing pretty damn well down the stretch.
Yeah, you could definitely say that. he had a hell of a game the other night. You know, I think the backup goalie, as you get deeper in a typical season, may not necessarily be that important, because when you get into a playoff race in a typical season, you see teams just grinding their starter into the ground. The team that Nashville's playing tonight, Utah, I think their goalie, Carol Hamelka, might have played like 18 out of 19 games down the stretch last year. It was crazy as they tried the playoffs. But I said the word typical a couple times in this conversation. This is not a typical season. This is an Olympic year. We have a very condensed schedule, some weirdness in travel and some weirdness in how many games teams play in a very short period of time. And so I think for every team, the backup goaltender has been a real key down the stretch, because there's just too much tonnage of games and all the other things happening in the schedule this year, where you can't just rely on one guy to do all the work.
Is he playing so well as a backup that if they get to the playoffs, you could see, like, all right, he's gonna start this game, Saros is gonna take a break, or you just ride Saros the whole way through?
You know, it's funny. I always have this conversation with people around the league about, like, when are we gonna see a true goaltending tandem in the playoffs? It never happens. Like, there's always one guy that ends up taking the reins in the playoffs. And then that guy's the guy until he screws up, and then you see the backup. You know, obviously a case could be made for Anonen, you know, to get some time in the playoffs based on the way that he's played. But it usually doesn't work that way. And then when you take a gander at, you know, one guy making the money that he's making and the other guy making the money that he's making, you
right.
also get a sense of who might be the lion's share of the work in the playoffs.
Are you surprised how well the Preds have played on this road trip, considering they started out? They lost two at home. They lost to Tampa. They went to this road trip losing three straight. And now with their backs against the wall, Greg, I mean, they're playing outstanding. Their game Tuesday night versus the Ducks might have been one of their best games of the year.
There's few things that don't surprise me about the Predators right now. Like, I mean, again, we've talked all season, you know, about this team and, like, the idea that they came back from the Olympic break, they put together, you know, they got off the blocks pretty poorly with a bunch of losses, and then they put together that great five-game winning streak. And you know, on this road trip, they've acquitted themselves well, doing what they need to do, not only in winning games, but also picking up a point in that LA game, which was a sort of a back-and-forth affair. And then laying the smackdown on Anaheim, like you said, which is a team that is sort of in a perilous position right now insofar as they're getting into a losing streak at the wrong time. Yeah, I'm overall surprised that we're talking about Nashville being a potential first round matchup for Colorado, just based on where they were and based on what we perceived them to be. And you know, this road trip coming when it did and the success that they're having just speaks to how surprising the whole thing's been.
Greg Wyshynski is with us. Is Colorado still showing you enough to make you think they can win the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, I think so. You know, their biggest problem right now is going to be the second round. Like, you know, to have to play Dallas or Minnesota that early in the playoffs is tough. You'd like to face them when they have a little bit more wear and tear, and maybe they'll beat each other up so bad that Colorado gets the benefit from it, assuming they get past the first round. But to me, the team in the West that I worry about the most, if I'm Colorado, is Dallas, assuming they get by Minnesota. I think that's a really tough matchup for them. I think Dallas, having the playoff experience that they have, the goaltending they can get, they beat them last year, obviously, with the series that Mikko Rantanen had against his old team, the revenge series. Like, they're probably the second best team in the NHL behind Colorado, and could be a team that knocks out what has been a dominant regular season team in the playoffs.
And in the East, I know everyone's excited about Buffalo making it for the first time since the Nixon administration, but what about Montreal? 9-1-0 in their last 10.
They're on a bit of a heater right now. I'm a little bit lower on Montreal than a lot of people. I'm still not really enamored with their overall depth, and I think you're asking a lot of a couple of young goalies in you know, a really intense time of the season to come through. Their top line, the one with Slafkovský and Suzuki and Caulfield, is as scary as you're going to find in the league. And Demidoff on their second line can create a lot of offense on his own. But I just don't think they're there yet. I think a lot of people think that the playoff experience they earned last year in a brief appearance against the Capitals, and then, you know, the amount of young talent they have on the roster, that it's going to add up to a playoff series win. But I still think that if it's them and the Lightning in the first round, and it looks like it might be that, then I'm still taking Tampa in that series.
Greg, our question of the day, in honor of the Masters, if you could caddy for 18 holes for anybody in the world living, who would you caddy for one day?
I mean, the obvious answer is probably Sandler, right? Just because of the Happy Gilmore of it all. But, you know, that's a really interesting question. I mean, I think about all the ex-pros that you see at these pro-ams in like Lake Tahoe, and how fun it would be to, like, caddy for Bill Murray, for example.
Yeah.
I went down a Chichi Rodriguez rabbit hole the other day, by the way. If we're talking about all time, it's probably Chichi Rodriguez would be my answer insofar as, like, actual golfers. But, you know, I am, despite it being a lifestyle that I think I would thrive in, because it mostly involves standing around, hitting something, and then drinking a lot, I'm not a golf guy. I've only played maybe like twice, and that might be why I don't have the sources that some of my colleagues have. I'm on the golf course.
Well, for what it's worth, I said Mike Vrabel because I feel like that'd be entertaining right now.
But boy, would it, you know? Boy, would it. Yeah, absolutely.
Greg, appreciate the time as always, my friend, and we'll talk to you next week.
You got it, boys. Thanks.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN NHL senior writer, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. We'll react to that. Max Herz will join us at the bottom of the hour. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.